Would you turn with me in your Bible to the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And while you're finding that, I'm just going to tell you something that we already know. You know, we all like to be complimented and praised. Amen? Come on. Amen? Do I need to get somebody else to speak for you? We all like to be complimented. We all like to be recognized for the things that we do. And, you know, like any other man, any other human being, I appreciate appreciation. Appreciation for your work, for a job that you work hard at is a wonderful thing. And it's appreciated back. But I want to share a testimony with you today of just how that has worked in my life. And I believe it's probably been this way in yours. Several years ago, I was invited to a birthday party, and it happened to be at the Kerr's home. And it was a birthday celebrating one of their family members, and their daughters decorated the home. They set up the furniture outside for a nice outdoor patio barbecue time. They prepared the side dishes. They set the table. They prepared the home. They brought the needed grandparents to be there. And when it came time to cook, I was asked to do the barbecue. So they prepared this beautiful chicken breast dinner. It was marinating in some sauce. They handed me this package. I took it and commented on it. They said, oh, yeah, it's been marinating for this long. And I went to the outside grill and lit the charcoal at the appropriate time with great skill. I waited till the coals had died down to the appropriate temperature, cooked that chicken, and presented it to the family. Some point later in the meal, I was recognized for the wonderful dinner I'd prepared. Folks, I think like me, you know where the credit needed to go, right? I mean, so many of us guys, you know, we're told, oh, yeah, you know, you're a great cook, but, you know, it was somebody who did all the preparations that that made the difference. Now, true, I had some tiny culinary skills involved, but you know the real story. You know what really happened. You know that had it not been for those who had lovingly purchased and prepared and labored and made the plans, had they not presented it at the right time, that there would have been very little to appreciate in me. Are you with me? You know where the credit needed to go. Now, some of you might be saying, well, you know, at least you were there. You went and you agreed to do all this, and you went to their home. But maybe I should also add and remind you at this time, they had invited us to their home. We were living there. So when we had been displaced, we had been invited in. And one more time, I've got to say that the testimony of the rest of my life is not a whole lot different than that afternoon. Were it not for the things that God has done for me, were it not for the things that God has done for me in His Holy Spirit and through His church, there would be very little in me to be appreciated. God has made the difference. So with great appreciation to my Lord and to our God, and with hope that you too will find the things faith in God has done for me, in the hopes that you'll see them in your own life, I'm going to share with you my testimony, which I believe, again, is the testimony of many others, of some things that faith in God has done for me. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? And we're going to read two scriptures. So hold on after we read Hebrews. This very brief passage talks to us about faith. It says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hello? God's Word says, without faith, you cannot please God. It starts with your faith in Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Folks, your faith in God is paramount. If you do not have faith in the Lord your God, you have no future. And I'm going to say your present is worth very little as well. Now, I'm going to say it's true. It's true that I had to respond to the call of God in faith. God called me. God moved in my heart. And yes, I had to take some action there. I had to believe. I had to place my trust off of my own heart and off my own abilities and to put it in Him. But I got to tell you this, after that, I am responsible for producing none of the rewards that God has given me. None of the rewards. They are a gift. They are the grace, and they are the love of God. The best thing that I ever did was when God extended His love to me, was to accept His love and to place my faith and trust in Him. That's the best thing I've ever done. That is the most productive thing that I have ever done. Every good and perfect gift that I have, and quite frankly, that you have, is from God. Listen to Psalm 103. We read again this passage. We were blessed with a little earlier. Listen, and listen carefully, won't you? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things? Oh, dear people, the Lord our God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. For there is only one who does those things for us, amen? And it is the Lord our God. I want to share with you this testimony yet again. I do not want to forget the things that God has done for me. So this morning is my testimony of things God has done for me. Would you pray with me as we seek the heart of Christ? Lord Jesus, thank You, my Redeemer. Thank You, the Lord of my life, for Your love and Your strength, for Your blessing and Your grace. So many things are mine, not because of me, but because of You. Would You remind us again just how blessed we are to be children of God? Open our eyes that we might see. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you be seated? Things Christ Jesus did for me. First of all, Jesus found me. Amen? Jesus found me. I want you to know this without any doubt. I did not find God. You know, I've had people say, well, I'm on a quest to find God. I'm going to tell you, you will never find God unless God calls your heart to Him. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 says, as it is written, there is none righteous. Does that include me? I don't need to get personal with you. Let me just get personal with me. Does that include me? Say it out loud. No, I am not righteous. I have no righteousness. Any righteousness I have has been given to me by God. It has been given to me. It has been imputed to me, the Word says. In other words, given to me through Jesus Christ. I have none of my own, but only by His blood am I covered and made righteous. And all God's people said, so the Scripture says, as it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is no one who seeks after God, not on their own. The very first time that you came to God, you didn't get an inspiration to go, oh, I need God, so I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to tell you what happened. The Holy Spirit convicted your heart, came upon your soul, and reminded you how badly you needed something besides what you had, and the Holy Spirit called you, and that's when you said, oh, I need God. Not because of something that you did. God's Word says we don't do it. On our own, we do not seek God, so we don't find God.
because we don't look for him. John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus said, "No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him to me." Hello? We thought that we had such a great heart to seek the heart and life of God. We didn't. We were caught by the Holy Spirit of God, chased by the hounds of heaven, and conviction brought to our soul so that we might have an opportunity to see truth in ourselves and the truth of God. That is what God's Word says. Thankfully, even though the Bible says, no, Jesus Christ himself says, no one comes to me unless the Father draws him to me. Thankfully, the Word of God tells us that God does seek us. He seeks us. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Folks, that's you. You were lost. My hope and my prayer is that now you're found, that once you were blind, but now you see that God is all in all. Thankfully, God's Word tells us he seeks us. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. God will pull on your heart in such a way that you know that you need him. Every heart. He says that he reveals himself in his very creation, that no one has an excuse, and that if they will seek him with their whole heart, guess what? They will find him. He makes the call. We answer the call and follow his voice. When you know you need him, you feel led to turn to him. And when you heed that call, you turn towards home. And do you know what God's Word tells us about that? God's Word tells us that we turn our hearts towards home, that God is the kind of Father that hikes up his robe and runs to us. He doesn't say, well, come on back when you get things right. He runs to us. Remember the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15? It says, when he saw the son afar off, the father ran to him. Folks, that's the heart of God, to run to us. And the prodigal even said to his father in 15:24 and following, he says, Father, I have sinned against you and sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Put sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now he is found. You, my friend, did not find God, nor did I. Dear friends, Jesus found me. And for that, I am profoundly and eternally grateful. Second thing is, Jesus fixed me. Now, I know a lot of you have been around me for a few years, and you're thinking, Pastor, there's still a few things that need adjusting. No doubt. Psalms chapter 57, verse 7 says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed steadfast. I will sing and give praise. You know, in the repairing of our heart and in the repairing of our life, if we think about it that way, we know that we need God's help. Down in South Houston for many years, I think it's still there, there was a sign off I-45 for a nightclub. And that nightclub had a sign that says, Broken Hearted Nights Club. Broken Hearted Nights Club. There's a church down there in that area who erected a sign larger than it and put it right behind it, and praise God, you know what it said? Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Listen, all of us come to Christ with a broken heart in some way or another. Jesus, my friend, is the great physician. If you put his heart in your hands, he's going to heal you. I'm going to tell you, you cannot have a surgeon work on you until you get still and place yourself in his hands. Christ is our great physician. But I want to talk to you about what this word fixed really means. It doesn't mean just to repair. It means much more than that. You see, to fix your heart, and if you go back and look what that scripture says, what it really says is, my heart is established. My heart is established. That's what fixed means. It means established. In other words, if your heart is established, your heart is steadfast. Your heart is sure. You will not be afraid. It means that you are rooted in Jesus. That's what being fixed on Jesus means. And being fixed in Jesus. It is a firm trust that His eternal resolutions are absolutely true and that you can depend on them. That's what it means to be fixed on Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, if anything's going to fix your life, it's going to be fixing on Jesus. Amen? Now listen, there's an old saying called, I'm fixing to go to town. You ever use that phrase? Now, some of you have heard us say this because I like to talk about it. But you say, I'm fixing to go here and I'm fixing to go there. And I'm fixing to make dinner. Where in the world did that come from? What's fixing? My daddy told me what fixing was. Fixing is when, back in the old days, when you had horses and buggies and carriages and wagons, and you put everything from a bridle or a saddle or a hame or traces and chains and hooking up to the horses, and all these different things had to be brought out, attached to the horse, attached to the buggy, and all of these things together were called fixings. So when somebody came out and you were in the barn and you were pulling out all this stuff, they said, what are you fixing to do? Are you fixing to go plow? Are you fixing to go see somebody? Are you fixing to go to church? What are you fixing for? Folks, let me just remind you that God's Word says that we need to be fixed on Him. What are you fixing for? What are you preparing for? What are you doing in your heart and in your life that needs to be aimed in a different place? If you are fixing for work, if you are fixing for this, if you're fixing for your future, if you're fixing for your financial, listen, you better change it all and you better just fix on Jesus. Because if you will fix on Jesus, everything else is going to fall into line. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let me change that a little bit. You give me a little license here. Fix ye first on the kingdom of Christ and all of His righteousness, and all these other things that you're fixing for will be met by Him. Fix on Jesus. Psalms chapter 112, verse 7 says, He will not be afraid of evil tidings. Who won't be afraid of evil tidings? He whose heart is steadfast, fixed on the Lord, trusting in the Lord. That's who will be unafraid of evil. Established in Christ. Third thing, Jesus found me. Jesus fixed me and set me right in the right direction. And Jesus forgave me. Oh, my friends, Jesus forgave me. How easy it is to forget the most important things in our life. We get so caught up in the stuff. Amen? We get so caught up in the things. Psalms 103 that we read just a little earlier said, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. How can we say, me, my, mine? It is all the Lord's. Who forgives your iniquities? Who heals your disease? Who redeems your life from destruction? God does. Nobody else does. Let me ask you, when's the last time the world came to you and said, Are you brokenhearted? Can I help? When's the last time the world came to you and says, I've got a fix for your problem? And it worked. I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can fix you. He is the only one who forgave you. You know, I did not earn His forgiveness. And I got to tell you, I did not deserve His forgiveness. Amen. Romans 6:23 tells me the wages of my sin was death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, my Lord. What I deserved and what I earned, my paycheck was death. But God gave me something different through Christ Jesus because I put my faith and trust in Him, because He called my heart, and because I heeded, and because I yielded to Him. Folks, He gave me His forgiveness. God, in His love, sent His Son so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but what? Have. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, In Him, capital H, Christ Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And folks, there's the account we need to draw on. God's grace, God's riches. And He said, I give you my grace. And I love the acrostic that we have for that. G-R-A-C-E spells grace. And you go back and it's G, God's, R, riches, A, at, C, Christ, E, expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. God, how do I give you enough thanksgiving for forgiving me? And that's not it. After that, Jesus freed me. He forgave me. He fixed me. He found me. And He freed me. I was a slave to sin when Christ Jesus found me. And when I gave my heart and life to Him, in my sin, in my understanding that all I could do was mess up, Christ gave me freedom. I was a slave to sin. I was a slave to the opinion of others. But in Christ, I no longer have to worry about how good I have to be to get into heaven. I don't have to worry about what you think. All I have to do is hold on to Jesus Christ in purity from heart to know that I am His. And that, dear friend, is what gets you to heaven. That is what frees you on this earth. Freedom. Now, let's talk about that just a little bit because a lot of people don't understand it. They say, okay, well, I'm free to sin because God's just going to forgive me, right? God's Word says, heaven forbid. Heaven forbid that we should do that. John 8:32 says, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in my word, there's a big if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. They shall know the truth if they what? Abide in His word. He didn't say you're just free indeed. He says if you abide in my word, you shall be made free by the truth. Jesus answered them, or they answered to Jesus and said, hey, we're Abraham's descendants and we've never been in a bondage to anyone. Apparently they were a pretty new generation. Amen. They were already right then in bondage to the Romans. My goodness, how dumb can we be? We're Abraham's descendants, and we've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll be made free? And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. Slaves aren't welcome in the home, are they? But a son abides forever. Listen, you hear what he's saying? Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. No longer slaves, no longer somebody that's just been purchased for a job, but somebody who has been purchased out of love. We are sons and daughters of Christ. And He says, you are free and free indeed. Romans 10:4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. We are not under the slavery of the law. But you better understand this, that God's Word says if we are not under the slavery of the law, we belong to Him and we give ourselves to Him and we owe our all to Him, because He says, whoever loves me keeps my commands. Jesus freed me. He didn't stop there. You know what else Jesus did for me? Jesus furnished me. He furnishes me and He furnishes you. He didn't just save me and abandon me. You know, He didn't just say, okay, you're saved. See you in a few years. Or see you when you get here. He did not leave me alone. He equipped me for the journey. Christ Jesus furnished me. His Holy Spirit is fitting me for His service every day. That's called sanctification, people. Now, that does not mean that when you got saved that you had everything together. But what it does mean is when, if you truly got saved, you're trying to find it. You're trying to find it and put it together, because God is the one who wants you to be complete, He said. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things because I got enough money in the bank. Oh, did I misquote that? Is somebody going to call me to accountability here? What does Philippians 4:13 say? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Why is it then that we look at our bank account before we look to God? Psalm 78, 18 and following says, and it reminds us of the kindness of God to a rebellious Israel. Because after miraculously delivering them out of slavery, after miraculously leading them through the desert, it says that in the desert that they got upset and they tested God, and by asking God for the food of their fancy, the scripture says, yes, they spoke against God and they said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Folks, God himself delivered them out of Egypt. And as they were walking out, men and women were loading, unloading their pockets of their jewels and diamonds and gold and everything they had and just pouring it out and said, here, take it, take it, take it, just go. He didn't just send them out. He loaded them up to send them out. You remember the plagues? You remember what happened, how God protected all the Israelites? And they walked out from Pharaoh's hand and they entered into the desert. And then they said, I guess God just brought us out here to starve us. There's nothing to eat. Nothing we want. They said, he struck a rock and he gives waters. Can he also give bread? Let me ask you this. What can God not provide? God can give you whatever you need. If God is the God that can save your soul, amen? If God is a God that can redeem your spirit, if God is a God that can take you to heaven, if God is a God that can change your life, then God is a God that can put something on the table if he so desires. Amen? How difficult can food be? After all the miracles that God had done, how difficult could a little food be? And God is saying, trust me. God gives what's needed. God has furnished me first with my salvation. Amen. He let me live long enough that I might hear the call and follow his call. He provided me then with scripture so that I know what to do next. Are you following the recipe of God? He's given it to you right here. You don't know it unless you read it. Then he provided me and he furnished me with fellow saints. What a difference it makes to walk with people who love the Lord and love you. Amen? And then he provides me with strength, a daily walk. Jesus furnished me. Second, the next thing is, number six, already, you were worried about a seven-part sermon. I'm already on number six. Jesus fought for me. Jesus battled for me. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus still fights for me. Listen to Psalm 18, 1 and 2. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and my horn of salvation, my stronghold. Folks, that's what we need to understand of our Lord and our God. He is our strength, our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. He does fight for us. And if you think it's only back then, you're mistaken. Listen, do you remember in Samuel when David went down to the field to take some stuff to the brothers and to the soldiers to provide a little food for them on the fronts? And he got there and there was this big Philistine standing out in the field screaming obscenities about them and their God. And he says, I challenge anyone. And David said, that's enough. If nobody else will do it, I'll do it. And David stood before this huge Philistine. And it says that the Philistine looked at him and said, ain't you cute? I know it was different words, but it says he looked at him that he was ruddy and handsome and youth. In other words, he was young and good looking. But he was a kid. Goliath looked at him, and what did Goliath say? He said, listen, I am gonna kill you. And he talked about obscenities, and he said, I'm gonna lay your body out and all before you and your God and just disdain you all. And finally, David spoke up and he said this. David said to the Philistine, let me just read 1 Samuel 17, 45 and following. He says, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and the spear, for the battle belongs to the Lord, and He will give you into our hands. God fights for you. You know, when Pharaoh's army was descending on Israel, we talked about this just a few minutes ago, about Israel and their griping and their panic. They panicked and said, oh, to die out here in the desert where we could have at least been back in Pharaoh's care, back as slaves. Moses said to the people, he said, do not be afraid, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Folks, God fights for us. One of my favorite stories of another one is when the king of Syria decided that he was going to go get Elisha. Elisha had been giving the king of Israel the directions, and they had avoided the king of Syria and all of his armies and had routed them every time they came together. And he said, that's enough. I know why this is happening. They got a man of God, and he's telling them what to do. And he said, let's go get this man of God. So they went down to Dothan where he was, and it says that the king of Syria surrounded Elisha with a great army. Now listen, when the Bible says a great army, you know what I think it means? A great army. Lots of horses, lots of chariots. That's what it said. And the servant of Elisha said, oh, master, what are we going to do? And Elisha answered him, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And the servant must have looked at Elisha and went, So Elisha prayed, and he said, Lord, I pray, open the eyes of this man that he may see. Then the Lord opens the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain, listen to this, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Listen, when you're on God's side, all you have to do is depend on the Lord. God fights for you. And the last one I want to share with you today is this. The last testimony I have for this morning is Jesus is going to finish me. I know I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I could be. But how's the saying go? I thank God I'm not what I was. And I'm thankful that God is still working on me. Philippians 1:6 says, be confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Now look what it said. It said, we'll complete it until the day. We'll complete it until the day. Do you know what that means? God ain't through with you yet. If your heart's still beating, if you still belong to God, if you will just serve the Lord, He's still working on you. God is finishing me. It takes a good finish for the Lord to be happy, for the Lord to be satisfied in us. He says, finish well. Don't just start, finish. Being confident this is the very thing, that he who began the work in us will complete it. Folks, will you trust the Lord to keep working on you? Will you trust the Lord to keep helping you and strengthening you until the day that he takes you home? He says, until the day of Jesus Christ. Hold on to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of my faith, and he can be yours too. He did it for all these we talked about. He did it through the Word of God, and my Word, my Bible, God's Word says that he is the same yesterday, and he is the same today, and he will be the same forevermore. And all God's people said, and thus in that, dear friend, He can do all these things for you. Pray with me. Father, we are not what we ought to be. But thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are not where we were, I pray, years ago. Would you help our hearts to trust you, Lord, because in these things you're able to do. I pray, God, that if there is one here today or several here today who do not know you, Lord, help them to see that they cannot find you except by your call. I pray, Lord, that your call be strong in their heart. Move in their life. Call them to you, Lord. And I pray that if the Lord calls you, dear people, that you'll come. There are so many things you do for us, Lord, every day. Would you help us, Father, not to stop being completed in you so that we might return so just a little bit of all you've given us through this life in service to you. God, I pray that the testimony that I've shared today will be strong in the hearts of your people and that they too could claim this testimony. And Father, if they have not, would you help them today to turn to you with a great understanding that they may and can and in your strength will. Set us about your business, Lord. Even now, set us about your business. Would you speak to the Lord? Would you let him speak to your heart? In just a quiet moment, would you ask the Lord what he would have you to hear? Speak to him. And then, dear friend, be still and quiet. Let God speak to your heart.